Coral Fart.
Coral Fart.
So this is an anagram of a anagram? Famous character.
Lara Croft.
Oh, that was quick. BS. Pro League,
The Lobby. Welcome to The Lobby with me, Danny G, Jonah Jupp and Owen Williams. Guys, what's been happening? What's new since last week?
There's plenty of new stuff for this week. We have been super busy preparing for a number of events coming up. So we're actually off to Bryce Norton Families Day, followed by a London Wing Cadet Sports event on Saturday morning, followed by a Portsmouth Royal Navy Esports Award ceremony in the evening on Saturday. So this weekend is absolutely chock full of stuff for us. But also we've been working on the Pro League. We've been working on this here podcast as well. So there's all sorts of stuff kicking around.
Can you give us a break, please?
Oh, you're going to have to wait for that, mate.
Yeah.
We're not done yet.
Holiday when?
We've just started. Crikey.
See, look, you're like the child every week who goes, I'm exhausted.
I'm emotionally drained.
I'm so tired.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Mental Health Awareness Month. I didn't mean that. I said it with love and with kindness.
I just want to make sure I don't suffer from burnout, Danny.
Yeah, you can't burn that candle at both ends, baby. Weeks in, you need a holiday.
I know.
So, obviously, these events that are happening, but talk to us about the Pro League. What's the latest gossip, the latest juice?
What's the gem?
Oh, there's a lot of juice. So, we're now halfway into the F125 Pro League season. So, it's an eight-week-long season. We're on the fourth week, or just finished the fourth week now, and we hosted the F1 Grand Prix over at Austria. So, the Red Bull Ring. The shortest track on the calendar. I think some of our drivers were completing those laps in, like, 1 minute and 3 seconds or something ridiculously quick. So, we popped up a live broadcast for that. We had 14 drivers take to the grid today, and it was an absolute just spectacle. Just
it
chaos,
was.
Left, right and centre.
Because it's such a short lap and so simple of a track, and they're going at full speed pretty much the entire way round, it was chaos. We had two drivers literally side by side for about four laps straight, literally bounding over each other. It looked like doing a section attack.
And have you got that chat ready yet so they could chat to each other? Because that would have been a long day.
Oi, get out of the way, mate. Go out of the way. No, it's
Give
my
up.
Turn. Pull back. Oh, it's my lane.
You should get involved. There's still plenty of time.
I suck. I've
seen you out on track. I'll have you know.
Waving the flag.
Well, do you want to know something, Dan?
Girl,
do you want to know something? Two disqualifications in that last race. So if you were to have got involved, there's a chance that you're fighting for the points. I'm just saying, keep it on the track. You never know where you might end up.
Give us the gossip. Why disqualified?
The
look on your face then.
So where do I start? The wonderful, the lovely BR8115, actually a championship contender in his own right at the moment, sort of battling around the mid-pack at the moment. Mm. He was off to a very rough start. So actually at the moment he's overseas. So he played on his Xbox with a controller, I believe. Just took it with him, gave it a go. Absolute legend for it. And unfortunately, I think he had a jump start at the very start of the race, got a massive time penalty, and then ended up colliding with a wall, because I think his internet dropped, and then boom, gone. Another one of our drivers, Chewy631, 22 laps into the race, decided that the wall was a nice idea, and terminal damage was also a nice idea. It wasn't.
Did he beach himself?
Yeah, he did beach himself. Yeah. He
did what?
Stuck
he
in the sand.
Himself.
Went into the sand.
It was like a grassy verge or something, wasn't it? And the belly plate got mounted on this and all four wheels were suspended in the air.
Is that what beached means?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like a turtle. He got turtled up.
That you need to try and roll him.
Yeah. And I think we cut to his POV and it was literally just him and his wheels just spinning, trying to get some grip to
be honest, though, when that happens, are you not there giggling? Be honest.
No comment.
It depends. So I think with our commentators, the usual reaction is like the camera will cut and they just go, oh! Like, it doesn't matter what it is. It's just, oh! So Chewie's in the sand. What happens? Oh! Same thing every time.
Sounds like Ness. All right. A reminder for us, who can play?
Serving personnel, veterans, cadets, MOD civil servants, reservists, and the bereaved community as well. So it's a massive, massive sort of range of people within the UCAF community who can get involved. Also direct family members of veterans and service personnel as well. So if you are a son, daughter of, father, mother, brother, sister, don't worry, you can get stuck in.
Yes. Yeah, hopefully not stuck in.
Not beached,
right? Beached, yeah. Hey, look, we've got to remember it is Mental Health Awareness Month, so
indeed.
Let's not take the mickey too much.
Indeed.
And obviously being Mental Health Awareness Month, we're joined today by Sky, Head of Programmes for Safe in Our World, the mental health charity for gamers. Hello!
Hello, how's it going?
We're good. We're very, very good. Sky, it's been a long time since we've caught up.
Yeah, you two know each other, right?
Well, we've spoken on several occasions back when Sky was a thing, as I mentioned in the last podcast. I got in touch with Sky and they kindly got us involved with Safe in Our World. And then recently, more recently, last year when I came to BFBS, they reached out again and said, oh, get involved with us again. And I was like, absolutely. Safe in Our World, for anyone who doesn't know, fantastic organisation. But Sky, I'll let you give a brief overview of what Safe in Our World is and what you guys do.
Yeah, sure thing. Thank you. So Safe in Our World is a mental health charity that specifically works within the video games industry and its wider communities. We offer a huge amount of support for gamers through our website, safeinourworld.org. We have information and free resources and training with regard to mental health, and especially looking at how video games can be used to positively impact people's well-being. And then for companies in the video games industry, we offer free mental health support and guidance to help them make their workplaces better, to better support the people who work on the games that we love.
Absolutely. And you guys are doing a fantastic job. You say a team of four right now.
Yes, currently four.
For such a small team, you guys are making a massive impact in the industry, and we've seen that sort of throughout. I know a lot of your team very well, from, you know, your community managers and things like that, and, you know, being in the Discord community, a little bit of a revamp going on there, I saw. But no, it's awesome. So can you tell us a little bit more about your role within the organization?
Yeah, sure thing. So I'm the head of programs, and essentially what that means is I run all of the sort of core initiatives that the charity has. So for the video games industry, that is our Level Up Mental Health program. That is a free of charge partnership opportunity available to any company across the global games industry, no matter, you know, what they do or how they're related to video games. And that's where we offer all of that free support and guidance, documentation, etc., that I mentioned. We also just last year, almost a year ago, launched an accreditation for games industry companies, which kind of takes that support a step further, where we can really get in and audit how a company is doing in the games industry with regard to its mental health practices. In addition, I run all of our training initiatives. So that is training that we deliver in-house. We have a variety of different workshops that we can run, or wider global training programs that we work with third parties for. So as an example, we have trained over 400 community managers globally so far for free in mental health awareness and mental health first aid. We've also offered training on kind of self-advocacy and better understanding your own needs, and all kinds of different stuff, really. So those are the core components of my job. Outside of that, I've been involved in a whole bunch of different projects. A lot of the free toolkits you'll find on the website are things that I've worked on. Our physical well-being journal called Sidekick, that teaches mindfulness techniques inspired by video games, is something that I worked on as well. So just kind of a lot of projects, a lot of stuff. As a team of four, you imagine, yeah, you could kind of end up doing a lot.
I've done the community managers course myself, and I got to say, it was one of the best mental health related courses I've been on. So informative. And yeah, I mean, the group we were a part of, I mean, people from all spaces of industry, and it was really, really cool to see.
Well, Jonah, yeah. I was actually going to ask you, because obviously you know Sky and you've been involved with Safe in Our World. And obviously, Sky, forgive me not to take this away from you at all, but what did you get out of it, Jonah?
I think just a lot of tools for my toolbox, right? And it also, I did that just before my mental health first aid course. And I sort of went in there a little bit better prepared to know what was going to be coming up, and the different conversations to have around sort of community in general, I think sort of gave me that benefit as well. So for Safe in Our World to offer that for free, of all things, it's a no-brainer if you're in the industry in that community manager position, or if you're in any sort of community role. I think it's really beneficial, yeah.
Obviously, we can't see you, Sky, but hopefully that's made you smile listening to Jonah
there.
It has
indeed, yeah.
When we spoke yesterday, you mentioned the Good Game Playbooks. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so the Good Game Playbooks are a series of free toolkits that we've worked on in partnership with Ubisoft. The kind of titular Good Game Playbook, if you will, is something that we released back in 2024. And the goal behind that was to offer people an opportunity to learn more about kind of online toxicity and some of the poor behavior that one might experience playing online titles. So we did look a lot at Ubisoft's online titles. The toolkit was first launched with Rainbow Six Siege, but the information within it is kind of relevant to any online gaming environment. It doesn't have to be just for people who play Ubisoft games. But the goal behind it was that if you are someone who is prone to tilt, to, you know, getting really angry when you're playing games, it helps you to identify the triggers for that anger, and hopefully put in place some healthier ways of letting that out that isn't gonna impact the other people that you're interacting with. Also, if you've been on the receiving end of toxicity, it kind of talks you through how to be aware of that, how to support yourself when you've dealt with something that is distressing in some way. And then in November last year, we actually released three new iterations of the Good Game Playbook, which are aimed at different audiences. So there's one for kids, one for teens, and one for parents. They kind of still have the same ethos, the same idea of looking at online safety, online toxicity, but are geared toward those different target audiences. So the one for kids is for age around 10, roughly. The one for teens is sort of 14, 15. And the parent guide is for anyone who has children or is the guardian of young people who are playing video games and might just want a little bit of an extra hand in understanding what they might come across and how to open up conversations about making safe decisions and looking after themselves.
I think that's really interesting, and not to take away from what you've just said, but as a Rock fan, when I hear toxicity, I'm thinking System of a Down. I don't know if we have Rock fans right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's your take then? When you talk about toxicity, just listening to you, my first question is game versus the gamer. What's the difference in, you know, the game that you're playing or maybe the people you're playing with?
Yeah, so there is research to demonstrate that certain games are more prone to having issues of toxicity within their gaming communities. So Unity released a toxicity in games report, I think in 2023 or 24. Which highlighted shooter games, sort of battle royale style games, basically anything that's kind of competitive as being more prone to toxicity, which is, I guess, kind of obvious when you think about it, that anything that is encouraging you to be hyper competitive is going to be susceptible to those issues like tilt, like getting really angry, like getting really stressed. So I do think that there is an element of being aware of the type of game you're playing and the impact that it might have, but obviously that isn't to say that everyone who plays shooter games is toxic. So I think the biggest part of that is just you understanding your triggers, understanding how your behavior impacts other people, and kind of taking the initiative to address those things within yourself. It can be something that just comes instinctively. Like it doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad person if you get angry when stuff goes wrong. It's more about how you actually channel that anger and how you deal with it, and making sure that you're not doing that in order to be, you know, horrible or abusive toward other people.
We're trying not to be. I mean, I'd say as a first-person shooter addict myself, I'm trying not to be toxic. And I know, for example, Rainbow Six as well is a really good example of a community that sort of adapting to the sort of the modern day sort of gaming. I mean, it's been around. I used to play Rainbow Six Siege as a semi-professional back in the day, and now sort of seeing how the environment's changing, inclusivity of women in gaming, the game changers. Scene and, you know, LGBTQ plus community as well getting involved in that. It's really good to see, and the work you're doing also making an impact on that.
I did pre-warn Sky, by the way, yesterday. This is where everybody else rolls their eyes. I was going to save this for later, but in terms of the communities, you were obviously saying first-person shooter. Overcooked.
Oh my goodness.
Now, we have mutual friends. I've had Lily, producer Lily, has been there and seen it firsthand. There is somebody, a mutual friend of ours, who I would say becomes quite toxic when playing Overcooked. So, gets really frustrated when they pick up the fire extinguisher instead of the pan to play Overcooked. I just wanted to throw it out there.
Okay, well, I'll make sure that we address that issue internally and that maybe we, direct them to safeinourworld.org to make sure that they
are
well informed on toxicity in the workplace and in gaming.
Yeah, and obviously bringing it back to the BFBS Pro League.
Yes, so obviously we're doing a lot of work ourselves. We've got a handful of mental first aiders within the community at BFBS Esports. One of our fantastic moderators, Tyrone, has recently joined the team to give us a little bit of helping hand and addressing the sort of toxicity within the community. And Owen has been working really hard as well on the rule set to make sure that toxicity has no place within our community as well. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that, Owen, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So for all of our competitions, we have to make sure that toxicity is not present wherever possible, especially when it comes to a live broadcast. The last thing you want to be seeing as a viewer is people scrapping it out. And as a participant, obviously, that's going to really get to your head, especially when you're in a high-pressure situation. There's really high stakes on the line. If somebody's trying to intentionally get into your head, that's going to disrupt your sort of thoughts of the competition. And everyone wants an environment where they can sort of feel comfortable playing, especially for the sort of weaker-end players, the players who might not be so used to that sort of attitude, because someone like yourself, Jonah, I mean, you've been around the block when it comes to experiencing toxicity. And
I'm glad you clarified that's about toxicity.
Absolutely.
Boys and their toys.
But it's really important we abstain from that. So just making sure that absolutely no sort of bad mouthing, any sort of slandering, any of that. It's all wiped away.
We do try so hard to get it nipped in the bud nice and early before it escalates. Definitely in our community, it's something that we take very seriously.
Yeah, it's really important. I learned this from you guys, actually. And Sky, we were talking, obviously, yesterday. I would like to talk more about games, specifically for like support, benefits and therapy, because we chat a lot about, especially our military community, who use gaming away from home to, well, relax, for one, or keep in touch with their loved ones back home, because you can obviously play online. But how... You shared it with us, obviously, the website for finding those tailor-made games that can be educational or support you, like therapy. Can you talk us through that again?
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is called Able to Play. It's a free tool that was made by Good Trouble Studios. And it's designed to connect you with games that are accessible for you, whatever that means. So when you make a free account on the platform, it will ask you a whole bunch of questions about your accessibility needs. This covers things like physical accessibility, for example, if you need to be able to play the game with adaptive controllers or, like one-handed, rebinding keys, all of this stuff. It'll ask about cognitive accessibility, which could be things like how the HUD works, or whether you can go back and look at quest objectives frequently if you struggle to remember those things, or, you know, if you might go away from the game for a really long time and come back and think, what on earth was I doing here? And then one of the really exciting things that we launched literally last week is a new mental health accessibility category on the platform. And this is designed to help you to avoid mental health triggers. So there's all sorts of settings in there for things like phobias, content warnings, trauma content, all of that kind of thing. So you can avoid games that might trigger any kind of phobias or traumas that you have. But you can also specifically set up a profile to find games that will be positive for your mental health, depending on your current headspace and how you're feeling. So as an example of that, if you're feeling super overwhelmed, you might just want a game that gives you just repetitive tasks that you can do over and over again. Like for me, for example, if I'm feeling super overwhelmed, just mining in Minecraft, just switching my brain off and doing that over and over again for ages is really helpful. For other people, though, if they're, you know, feeling down or frustrated, they might want a game that has sort of progression, something that they can really feel a sense of achievement. So you can toggle that option as well. You can look for games that actually educate about mental health and have that as part of their subject matter, or maybe games that teach you therapeutic techniques. So you can really, really personalize it depending what you've got going on, what your mental health looks like in that moment, as well as generally throughout your life. And then the platform will just recommend games that meet that accessibility profile. It will show you anything and it will give you a personal score out of 100 of how well it meets how you've set up your profile. And I think one of the really awesome things about this is that there are so many different ways that people engage with games for their mental health. We often default to talking about kind of those gentle, relaxing experiences when we think about games as therapy or games as a tool for well-being. But for some people, I mean, such as myself even, my safe space is horror. And I love to play horror games when I'm stressed out.
But obviously, I was not expecting that.
I'm a massive horror fan. I love it. It really feels like exciting and familiar to me. But obviously that's not the case for everyone. So what works for me is not going to work for someone else. But, you know, that's the beauty of Able to Play, is that it's so personal to you.
You've got to name a game though, Sky.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, so at the moment I'm on a really, really big, like, old school point and click hype. I have been playing a lot of just very silly kind of 90s-ish point and click games. Currently, I'm in the middle of Alpha Polaris, which is actually from like 2008, 2015, something like a lot more recent one. But I just finished Limbo of the Lost, which is just really something. I've played like Sanitarium. And
you're on the, you're,
Mystery
you're
of the
it.
Druids. Yeah, I've played a lot of like strange point and click horror games, and I'm really living for them at the moment.
I know. I was just thinking back when you were talking about trying to memorize different things in video games. All I could think back to was we hosted All the Mods 10 Minecraft server in the BFBS community, and I remember my brain's like a sieve. Or a goldfish, right? I'll be like trying to remember a recipe to something, and I have to go back about 30,000 times to remember that one thing that I needed. But yeah.
Oh, so gaming can be good to help your memory, yeah.
Yeah, it can be good. And also for like our community as well, obviously we've got a lot of veterans as well, with like myself with PTSD. So finding those, that you know, those triggers as well, like you mentioned, is really key. And I think really something that we should be encouraging people to kind of look at, to sort of be able to enjoy gaming rather than have to sit there with the fear of encountering something that might trigger that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Being able to avoid things like that is really important. And it, you know, whether it's PTSD related to service, or if it's related to, you know, other forms of abuse that you might have experienced, or it could even be, you know, through surviving a life-threatening illness. And then if you're playing a game and suddenly, you know, one of the characters has cancer or something like that, and you're just not prepared to emotionally engage with that subject matter, it can really, you know, if it catches you off guard and if you're not ready for it and if you can't think about that at that moment, it can really, really impact you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it can be really distracting. You know, when gaming is meant to be a break away from normal life, if that does happen, it's such a shame. So I think it's definitely a great resource to use. We're talking to the military. Our audience is the military, which we spoke yesterday is predominantly male. Can Safe in Our World help the armed forces community when it comes to gaming and relaxing and, you know, what you do?
Yeah, I mean, any of the resources that we offer will be suitable to literally anyone who plays games. So if you visit our website and you want to access things like the Good Game Playbook and that kind of thing, then you can just head to the Wellbeing tab. There's a whole bunch of information like that. There's access to our training. So things like the self-advocacy training that we offered a year and then previously 2 years ago now. It is still recorded and it's still on YouTube, but that might be really useful for individuals who have served or are actively serving, just to better understand what they need, like whether that is in terms of communication or whether that's in terms of just any way that they might interact with people in work, outside of work, all of that. It really helps you to understand what is going to be helpful for you when you're interacting with others, and gives you kind of the confidence to talk about that. So that might be a really useful resource. In addition to that, We have a page on our website just called Stories, where we highlight different people's personal experiences. And we do have a lovely series of three stories from serving veterans, from serving individuals and veterans that we published about a year and a half ago now, I think, highlighting the different ways that they've used video games either during service or thereafter to help themselves cope, help themselves stay connected to people, that kind of thing. So reading those types of things can really build this sense of solidarity, this sense of feeling seen, and maybe even give you some ideas for how you can support your own well-being based off of what other people have found success in.
Yeah, that's really lovely.
What we tried to do as well, especially in our Discord community, is sort of bring sort of Safe in the World resources that they've provided and sort of made that, you know, trying to link that to relevancy to our community as well. So, you know, using those graphics and stuff you guys provide, putting those in our Discord and also saying how that can relate to our service personnel and also their families and veterans, etc. So we're trying to tailor that to our community. But the resources that you have, like you say, are global, sort of universal to anyone who plays games. So, yeah, no, they are super useful. So what's your go-to, would you say, what's your cozy night in? I know our producer Lily loves a cozy game. What would you say?
Horror. We already know this.
I know it's horror.
Well, okay, so hear me out. Okay, so yes, I love horror. I will play pretty much any horror game, consume any kind of horror content, obviously. However, my favourite game of all time, my favourite comfort game, is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and or Tears of the Kingdom, because they're, you know, so interlinked. I have very nearly 100%ed both of them. I'm at like 86-something% of Tears of the Kingdom and like 90-something% of Breath of the Wild, but it's just those last few Korok seeds that's really holding me back. But I think those are amazing because they, within one game, they offer you all of those different things. Like if I just want to walk around Hyrule Field and I want to listen to the sounds and I want to just like, you know, be silly, then I can. But also if I want a really challenging, you know, sense of achievement, I can go fight a Lynel. Like I can do all of those things within the same game. So yeah, I do really appreciate that. I'm also a big advocate of playing on Switch because I can play like under a blanket with cats on me. And I've been really into Tomodachi Life at the moment. That's been just a really lovely little injection of chaos into my evenings.
I am just so jealous because whenever I play games, and I'm not a particularly I'm a vocal gamer. I get quite excited and the dog doesn't like it.
I'd always said, right, from day one of our podcast, that the Nintendo Switch should be the go-to for any military personnel. Reason being is you can play with your colleagues, right, on something like Mario Kart and go absolutely crazy. You can pack it in any little pouch or anything you've got to go in the field. It's so ideal. And did I tell you a story about the first date with my fiance, where we played Nintendo Switch my mini?
Such a great story. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, share it with me and Sky.
Yeah, yeah. So on our first date, in conversation with my partner, you know, before we went on our first date, had this bet, so who's better at Mario Kart? And on our first date, she wasn't expecting it, but I did pull out the Nintendo Switch and said, right, well, let's have at it. This was during COVID, so was it the pairs, you know, you could only spend time with one person. So we went out we parked up in our little bubble, in my little mini. We parked up, Switch on the dashboard, and we battled it out, Mario Kart. Obviously I let her win, but yeah, she's never won since, so it's all good.
I think that's amazing. For myself, I've only recently just picked up a Switch because I've never played Nintendo games.
Go on, that man.
And that's got to be so disappointing for you, Sky, and I'm so sorry, but I've never touched Legend
of
Zelda.
I'll allow it. You've seen the light sad. Now, like, you're okay.
But I'm giving
my Switch to Lily,
it.
By the way, Owen.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, she's given me a saxophone and I owe her my Switch. What's I'm a, getting rid of mine.
Such
I know.
A strange
I know.
Trade.
Right. I so random.
Saxophone to Switch.
Sorry, go on, Owen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I've just started playing, I think, Pokemon Arceus, and I'm loving that. absolutely wicked game so far. I'm really enjoying it, and I've never touched a Pokemon game either. So growing up, having watched all this stuff and finally being able to play it, it's just so refreshing and so lovely. And yeah, I can totally see the sort of mental health benefits of just taking a step back, getting out of those competitive games and just playing something to chill you out is so, so important.
USAR game.
Where is it that we can actually find out more about what you can offer, Sky?
So you can go to the website, which is just safeinourworld.org, or you can find Safe in Our World on any social media platform at Safe in Our World.
I think that's really lovely. Sky from Safe in Our World, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Something that Sky said, by the way, that I thought was really interesting was mentioning about being a team, taking care of your team. Mm-hmm. Was it Sarah, was it? I think they mentioned the charity lead who's over in Poland.
Yeah, she's, I think she's up for an award actually.
Oh, that's mental.
So I think some sort of industry award. But yeah, I mean, yeah, they look after their team really, really well, and I know quite a few of their team, and I know they're always looking out for each other, also looking out for other people in the industry.
But teaching gamers how to take care of their own team, and I think it's really important. You guys do that as well, obviously, within the Pro League, but I think the biggest stamp on that is to go, oh, the stigma sometimes is that gaming can be really, really antisocial with you locked away in your bedroom. So I think that's quite interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a key reason I did the mental health first aid training, right? It wasn't just for the benefit of the community. Obviously, that's one of the main reasons I did it, but also for the benefit of our team as well. We're in a very high-paced industry with a lot of stressful things going on. I mean, Owen will tell you how stressful some of our events can be with a short setup time and a pack down. And sometimes that's really wearing. Like even this week alone, we've got 3 events. So we're going to be pretty full on, and it's really taking that time to sit back and go, USAR.
USAR, that's important. USAR. That's actually a really good point. You know, like the phrase when somebody says a barista who's working around coffee all day doesn't want to go home and drink coffee?
Yes.
Are you guys obviously still playing your games to chill out?
I think I can speak for Jonah as well. We both sit at home and do it all again.
You're joking!
Yeah, no, honestly, we'll finish a day where basically, say we're entertaining some people at an event. So we got our sim rig, we got the desk PCs, everyone's playing for hours on end, we're teaching them how to go about things, and then we get home and we're just like, you know what? Let's play some games. We love it. We love it. But the thing is, there's so much variety, right? So what we do and what we offer is predominantly esports. So it's the competitive side of gaming. As soon as we jump home, it'll be casual games. It'll be something to chill us out. Well, apart from you recently on your Valorant grind. But that's besides the point, Jonah. I've been on the Rocket League grind as well for a change. It's been seasons since I was actually playing to try and reach the top ranks. I was chuffed this weekend because I managed to get the top rank back. So I'm buzzing for that. So
nice. Yeah. Yeah. And I think also it's comparable to like F1 drivers, right? A lot of F1 drivers play golf, right? I don't go home and play F125. I go home and play things like Valorant or, you know, gambling with your friends. By the way, great game. Very, very funny. It's basically like a, what's it called? It's like Peak. Have you heard of the game Peak?
Peak.
Quality game. Peak. So good.
Great game. It's like a cartoony version, but it's just it's just full of shenanigans. Like you can buy like silly cosmetics, like mustaches and things like that to run around with. Anyway, so me and Lena from the Pro League have been playing a lot of that and trying to get out of silver in Valorant, which is very hard because everyone plays like bots. So yeah.
And obviously we were mentioning about keeping everybody cool during the BFBS Pro League and the competition. Be honest though, I mean, have you seen anybody sort of lose their cool a little bit? Hang on, what was the word that they used? Tilt.
Oh, it happens all the time. Yeah. All the time. Oh, I think if we look back towards last season, when the stakes were really high for Rocket League and people were trying to like get through to the Pro League finals, that big LAN event, that big cash prize, everyone suddenly towards those final weeks was thinking, right, this is do or die now for our chance to actually have a shot at this. And so you were seeing people scrap back and forth in the chats. And as much as the people at home can't see it because it's all hidden to them, we've got all of the chats turned off in the broadcast. It's just people saying quick, sharp things to get in each other's heads. And, you know, this can be within the same service as well. And usually you'd think, okay, let's say the Royal Air Force players, they're going to be definitely, trying to basically just big up their own teams. No, they want to win it for themselves. That's it. Most of the drama actually comes from the same service a lot of the time, which is just hilarious because the guys want that much of an advantage.
Well, the RAF have the most amount of teams, right? Is that
they
right?
They do, yeah.
So last season, I think they had 4 or 5 teams enter the Pro League in an official capacity, whereas the Army and the Navy had about 2 respectively. So it's a big sort of difference there. But for this season, even in F1 as well, we're seeing some little comments in the Discord as well, thinking, I thought we were on good terms. I didn't think you'd report me for that crash on lap 4. And then suddenly they're just like, yeah, mate, I did. I'm sorry about that. And so we're starting to see some storylines brew there, which we like to see. It's great content.
Maybe we should have like a diary section of this podcast where we can go through some of the drama from you, Owen.
We have to start with Dear Diary, though. Dear Diary today.
Dear Diary, my RAF component.
Today,
call
Stevie
Mack
took me off the track.
Oh, no, we're not writing poetry. But look, it's really interesting. Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're talking about gaming being good for mental health. Owen, you look dubious.
Dubious? Dubious towards what?
Do you have a game for us?
Do I have a game? I don't know.
Is it going
to
be good for our mental health?
Ooh, now that's tricky. That's tricky. I think I've got some good ones. Are you ready for a game?
Is it for me or is it for Jonah or both of us?
It's for both of you.
We're really competitive.
And for you guys at home, anyone listening, you can get involved. So shall I get stuck in?
Yes, do it.
All right, let's do it. So I have developed some game-related anagrams, and I want you to try and figure it out. And I've just realised that this probably isn't the best targeted game to someone to my left who's dyslexic. So I'm sorry about that in advance, but
mental
I'm sure
health,
you'll be fine.
Mental health.
I know. So,
call me stupid without calling me stupid. Test me on anagrams.
Beautiful piece of paper. You're more than welcome to have a look through it. We'll go through it one by one. I'll start with the easiest first. Okay, so I'd lay it on the table
so that your opponent can see.
Oh yeah,
there you go. Keep it between you both so you can see.
Okay,
and we'll start with the same one. So every single one of these anagrams is actually a game character, so
a
famous character from a video game across history. Okay, should we get stuck in? I can give you hints. Some of them are horrible. Okay,
okay, let's jump straight in. Okay.
So the first one is Snake's Idol.
Oh, are you two even speaking sync?
This one, I know. We've been working at this for years, haven't we, Jonah?
Snake's Idol.
Is it Snake Solid? Solid Snake.
Snake Solid. You were so
solid
close.
Solid Snake. There we go.
All right,
that's
okay.
Number one done.
I'm going to choose the next one to play with. I'm going to say... Coral Fart.
Coral Fart.
So this is an anagram of a
anagram?
Famous character.
Lara Croft.
Oh, that was quick.
2 points, Jonah.
That was quick. Coral Fart. That was good.
I'll choose
can
it.
You do this
I can give you some hints.
Get Ravioli Far.
Get
Ratatouille. No.
Oh. This one is wicked. I'm proud of this. I've been eating a lot of pasta recently,
get
so I wanted to spread some Italian
far.
Propaganda.
Put it down.
Get ravioli far. It's actually two words. Well, two names.
Two names.
First name.
Surname.
Sorry, no. Get ravioli far is three.
Three words.
So there is a first name, second name towards the end, and then a little connector in the middle. Should I give you a hint?
Is it something
please.
The?
We're close.
Something
we're
the?
Close. There's a connector. It's not the.
Oh.
And give us a clue.
Ratchet and Clank. Close.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. Coin toss.
Coin toss. It's not Ratchet and Clank.
Really famous RPG.
Dr. Eggman.
Nope.
No, that's Sonic. What am I talking about? What?
Coin toss.
Coin
okay.
toss?
How about toss a coin?
Toss a coin.
Oh, come on.
Don't talk about a boss like that.
It's also a TV show. It's
a TV
show as well. Recently. 3 seasons.
Am I too old to get these?
No.
Maybe.
No.
It's a great TV show. Toss a coin.
Oh, The Witcher. Oh, I've given it away.
It's all right. I don't know
Gerald, it. Gerald the Rivier.
Yes, Geralt of Rivia.
Geralt of Rivia.
Okay, Lily, producer Lily knows, that's fine. But
toss
I'm
a
just
coin
like, no.
To your Witcher.
So get ravioli far, names. Geralt of Rivia.
All right, one more, because I want to try and get at least one. Yes, just one more, and then
we'll
leave
this one to you.
No, but I don't know if I'm going to get that one. I like the look of examine pay.
Go on then, you do examine pay.
Ooh.
Max. Is it Max?
Oh, yeah, it is Max.
Max.
Oh, I know it.
Oh, you do? I'm impressed. That's a tricky one.
Pay. Hang on a minute. I need to write this down.
So this one is exam and pay.
Yeah, unpay.
So it's just an N in the middle. Exam, unpay.
I don't know many
You got the first bit right.
It is Max.
Well, I know that from the reaction. I'm sure. Yeah, I've read Max. All right, calm down, everybody.
It's a first name and surname.
Okay. I don't know any characters beginning with Max, but thanks.
Do you want a hint? I think you can get this one, Danny. Mm. Okay. I think you can. I think you would have played this game.
What would you like to inflict on me?
Max.
I mean,
Payne.
After this.
Yes!
There we go.
You got it.
Who the heck is Max Payne?
Max Payne. Undercover cop. It's a Rockstar game.
Wow.
Oh, okay. I do love Rockstar games, but.
It is a banger.
The game's called Max Payne.
Max Payne.
No, I've never played it.
I'm wondering whether I should be concerned that you got that off my hint of what you'd like to inflict on me.
You're just really smart.
I just love how you got it without actually knowing the character. That's amazing.
That's good.
Are there any actually on there? But we won't play anymore, but are there any on there that I actually know? What were the other ones? So we've got Pancreatic Pie. What's that?
So Pancreatic Pie, 50,000 people used to live here. Now it's a ghost town. Captain Price.
Captain Price.
Not a clue.
Call of Duty. Absolutely legendary character.
Gonked Yonk.
Gonked.
You're a Gonked Yonk.
Gonked Yonk. Donkey Kong.
Oh my god. Yeah, that is literally almost backwards as well. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Gonked Yonk.
Yes. Yeah. Very good.
Well done.
Thank you.
Jonah definitely won that. 100%. Smashed it.
That was brilliant, though, Owen. Thank you for putting us through a game that made me feel incredibly stupid. I think that wraps up, though, another week of...
The Lobby!
And the Lobby!
There it is. I'm not harmonising. I'm not doing it again. And thank you to Sky from Safe in Our World for joining us this week.
Yes, and all the links to Safe in Our World will be in the podcast description, so make sure you head over to their website and check out all the awesome resources that Safe in Our World have got.
And next week, we are going to be joined by Dave from Geektown. He's back because obviously we spoke to him recently about the history of Atari, which was the revolutionary business that brought gaming into the home. What happened after Atari, though? Who took over? It was Nintendo. So we will find out all of those details next week when he joins us. But look, if you enjoyed this, please do give us a follow. Come on, let's get all beggy. Please.
Please. Please, sir. Please give me a follow.
See you next time on
The Lobby! Go!